Kevin Woodley, David Hutchison are at the controls. I'm Darren Millard. This is In Goal Radio, the podcast. We are coming to you on the eve of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Well, eve is a little bit premature, but we're into the stretch drive. A week to go. A week from this recording, the playoffs will be underway. That's what I'm saying, is we're all excited about getting set to watch the start of the chase of the Stanley Cup. But we got a lot to get to today, including our NHL Sense Arena feature interview with Corinne Schroeder from the PWHL, from the New York franchise. We will also get into our parent segment brought to you by Stop It Goaltending U, the app, and that is going to focus on tryouts, tips for parents when it comes to tryouts, and the gear segment. Oh, I love the gear segment, brought to you by the Hockey Shop, source for sports Langley, thehockeyshop.com. We've got the Axis XF, both the gear and the customizer. This is fun, Woody.
Yeah, so fun. We're going to lead with it, Darren. Like, that's how excited we are about this new line. We have had a chance to, first time I saw it was two summers ago as part of a sort of brainstorming session with a number of goalie coaches, including Vancouver Canucks goalie coach Ian Clark and other people from the industry, sort of providing feedback on some of the changes and evolutions in CCM's new line. We were in Montreal, got a chance to see it on the ice with a handful of NHL, AHL, NCAA, and CHL goalies, and now it's finally here. And so the customizer is live, and you know what that means. You can order your own sets, design and order your own sets, get ahead of the retail launch, order your own custom equipment. So we figured we had to go to the hockey shop, because you know when these customizers launch, and CCM's not the only one with it. Bauer's got their customizer out for the Shadow. Warriors got their customizer out for the G7. Anytime new gear launches with a customizer, you can custom order it. But sometimes you can't touch it and feel it. So if you got questions about it, or you go in the customizer, you create a great design, you get a reference number, you want to know where to go to fulfill that order, the Hockey Shop, source for sports, Cam and his crew, is the place to go. And that definitely includes the new CCM Axis XF. We've got an overview now with Cam. Let's get right to it. Cam, tell us, what is this pad all about? Welcome back to the Hockey Shop, source for sports. I'm with Cam Matwib and Goalie Utopia, and it's like Christmas morning because we have new products. CCM Axis XF customizer has launched.
See,
we're going to walk you through the customizer in a minute.
Yes.
Cam's fancy computer.
In the meantime,
quick overview, just really quick. We don't want to give all, we got a review coming at ingoalmag.com. Make sure you check that out. It'll get a little deeper dive-ish, but the general dive-ish. From Axis 2 to Axis XF, the biggest changes, Cam, maybe start with the pads.
There are some changes.
Speed channel, going to be hard to see, but at the end of the day, change in materials.
Correct.
That
increased sliding
of speed channel and change in materials, 24% improvement in sliding, 24 on clean ice, 37, I believe, on rough ice. So CCM's done the research. We've been to their lab. We were at their lab with a handful, Jet Greaves, some pro, minor pro NCAA goalies sort of walking through how they do this testing. It was really cool. Show you that video later. But they did the testing. They combined the channel with the different materials. This is what they came up with. So Axis XF is faster.
Yes.
The rebounds are more active. I believe 37%. More active rebounds off the shin, 48% off the thighs. How do you do that? They've got a new material in there, Cam, called
Infinite Rebound Power.
Well, you might call it infinite. I would call it infinite. But infinite rebound power, like I said, that combined with a much stiffer, this is stiffer. Axis XF is stiffer than Axis 2. Not in the boot. Holy nice smokes. And flexible in the boot. But through the profile of the pad, rebounds rocket, not just off the shin, but off the thigh. And I can tell you one goalie that I know really noticed it. It was Stuart Skinner with the Edmonton Oilers. Mm-hmm. Wearing this product in the NHL, one of the reasons is the rebounds. I know there was a bunch of noise when he tentatively, early in the season, went back to an old E-Flex set.
Yes.
In practice. And everyone's like, oh, he's switching back. He doesn't like it. Truth is, talk to him. He was trying it to see it. And he
just couldn't move away from the rebound that he's getting off of the Axis XF. So there's a quick overview on the pads. Like I said, we'll have a deep dive at ingoldmag.com and here on the gear segment when the full launch date. But we wanted to, as we show you through the customizer, we didn't want to just be like, hey, here's the customizer, but you have no idea what you're ordering. We wanted to show you what's different really quickly on the glove. They've done a bunch of testing there too. It is a 591 break.
Redesigned.
Way easier open and closure right off the... Yeah, like, I mean, Axis 2 got there. It took a lot more break-in process. They want this to be an easier break-in process, so they've redesigned the internals on the glove. The testing on sort of how wide it opens, how much force is required to open and close it, all come back significantly improved.
Return of some finger
stalls. Two finger stalls and neoprene on the inside, so it's got a nice sort of soft textured feel to it.
Correct. Balance blocker, new palm material, massive rebound pop, but I digress. We have other things to show you and other things to talk about.
That's the overview, really quick. That's the nitty gritty dirty. Make sure you check out ingoldmag.com. We'll have a few more photos and stuff from our session. We'll do a deeper dive, like I said, during lunch, but let's go over to the customizer. Let's see the customizer and see some of the options that we can get from CCM on the custom.
They're going to check out the customizer. Let's bring you in here, Hutch. They're doing it a little difficult to do on the podcast with customizer.
Doesn't really fit radio, does it? To watch a screen and listen to the boys talk about this option and that option, but actually seeing it all, I think is pretty important to understanding the whole design. The number of times we've gone in there and despite all the stuff that we've done, not fully understood all the options that are there for us. And there's more options than ever this year at the customizer. You can basically customize this gear like a pro. So if you want to see what these guys were doing, head over to the YouTube channel, Darren. You can see what you've just listened to, plus that full walk through the customizer. It's 10, 15 minutes of great content all about the Axis XF gear.
And make sure you stay because Cam makes a mistake and then Hutch uses a computer voice to correct him and then chirp the living crap out of me in the same time.
That may be true.
I love you, Hutch. Can I get a virtual hug over Zoom? Like,
there it is, buddy.
Bring it in. I love it. Way to bring it. I have a question for you, Woody, when it comes to the Axis XF. I have the OG Axis and I love it. And it stood up amazing, and I face NHL shots semi-regularly. Tell me what's different in the XF from my iteration.
Well, first of all, the graphic is very sexy.
Yeah.
And sexier than the one you have, even though you've got it in some nice colors and a nice setup. Yeah. The biggest thing, Darren, is, well, the first thing that you're going to notice is it's a way stiffer pad from sort of the shin up through the thigh rise.
Really?
And especially from the first generation. Still has a very flexible boot, but it's actually, Axis 2 was stiffer than your original Axis, noticeably so, and Axis XF is even stiffer. They've got a new rebound foam, and I should say, we kind of highlighted this in the gear segment you just heard, but if you want more information, including photos and details, and sort of get a chance to look at it, ingoldmag.com, we have an overview of the entire line. The pads, the speed channel, why it slides faster, why there's no speed skin on the inside edge anymore, up to 39% faster depending on the ice conditions, faster than weave on fresh ice, faster than speed skin on broken up ice. That's why they chose it. What that speed channel looks like, and the new Infinity power rebound material on the
infinity, or as Cam called it, infinite. Or infinite. What was it?
He did say infinite,
something silly like that.
Yeah, good job, Cam. I screwed it up too. See, now Hutch can chirp me. Infinity. Oh my goodness, it's late.
The rebounds just keep going forever. Oh, that's on. Why it's the infinity.
I never stopped.
I iced the puck the other day, off a rebound, nice. and that's the Axis OG. So,
And the Axis 2 was noticeably stiffer, noticeably more active rebounds. The big thing here is they've really stiffened up the core from the knee through the top of the thigh rise, because the actual, this new power rebound material, softer than their max rebound they had on the previous generation. So to make sure that we didn't get that soft thigh rise, the trap door, they stiffened up the core and added this material. 70 on shots of 40 miles an hour, rebounds off the thigh, which is where a lot of goalies worry, like, hey, yeah, okay, I got active rebounds off the shin, but not off the thigh rise. 74% further on 40 mile an hour shots compared to Axis 2, which is already a pretty active pad. So like I said, these are going to be way stiffer, Darren. The gloves got a new configuration, much different than yours. They've got two finger stalls, pinky and the index finger now. They put neoprene in there. It's got a really nice soft feel, and they've redesigned it yet again to try and make sure we like their Axis 2 glove once we got it broken in. But we admitted in our review it took a while to get it broken in. This one breaks in a lot quicker. Kids can go into the store, grab it off the shelf. It'll open and close, open a lot wider, close a lot easier than the previous generation. So just continuing to move things forward. Weighs under 1,000 grams, the glove. Make sure that it's a lightweight thing that you know, even younger kids can use. So it basically would be stiffer, better rebounds, faster sliding, and just a lot newer than what you have, which kind of feels like we need to get you a pair.
No, I just was curious about it. I will say I love the original Axis blocker. I don't know how much tweaking's been done there, and we don't talk about blockers a lot, but I love my blocker. I really do.
You might love this one even really more.
I think, because honestly, in the review, Stuart Skinner talks about, because there was a bunch, him and Jet Greaves, the only two guys in the NHL in it right now. It's a newer pad. Stuart, I think it was around November when things weren't going well, he went back to his E-Flex 6 for a couple practices. And I know a lot of the accounts were like, oh, he might be going away from it. He's going back to E-Flex 6, which is totally fair. He tried it for like two practices and was like, man, the rebounds are too soft. They're all dying like 5 feet in front of the net, creating scrambles. I love the rebounds. And he mentioned the pads and the blocker, he loves the rebounds off, really crisp, sharp rebounds off the blocker as well. So I think you'd like that one too, Darren.
All right, interesting.
Darren, you love your blocker, but you should see the rebounds off Woody's glove.
Off the pocket? Not just the cuff?
I'm not even going to disagree with that.
Hey, serious question. Do you guys soak your glove before you play? Like, do you throw some water in there so it's a little bit worked in? I've seen guys do it. Or do you just naturally let the sweat take?
We're normal.
You are, right? Okay.
If my glove was drying too long in the garage or something like that before the next game, and you know how they get kind of a little bit crusty and hard if they're too dry, I would squirt a little water into the palm just to make it a bit more tacky. Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's a bit of an old school thing. Woody's too young to understand these things.
No, you know what though? I do know. I know what you're talking about, that crispy, crunchy feeling, Hutch. And I'm going to be honest with you. Don't get it in the E-Flex 6 anymore. And I don't think you're going to get it in the Axis XF. They've changed the materials in there.
True.
And it doesn't crisp up and get that sort of icky, like sandpaperish feeling on your hand the way the previous generations of a lot of gloves
sometimes
did.
Gloves can dry out too much, get too dry, and then you're going want to get into our feature interview brought to you by NHL Sense Arena in just a little bit. But the great new segment that we've had for a couple of episodes dealing with helping out our parents and that listen to the podcast. And it's presented by Stop at Goaltending U, the app. And this week we are going to give a little help to parents navigating tryouts. And before we get to that, would you... And where are you on new gear for tryouts? Because a lot of stuff's coming in, and would you even...
I have some thoughts for tryouts that will bring that up.
Okay.
So why don't we just leave that as a teaser? But I know that before we give some love towards that, I think Woody needs to give some love towards our friends at Stop at Goaltending.
Stop at Goaltending U app is the world's most comprehensive goalie app. For goalies, goalie parents, and coaches. I can kind of leave it at that. The world's most comprehensive app for goalies, goalie parents, and goalies coaches. Kind of says it all, right? It was created by Brian Decourt, former NHL goalie coach with the Boston Bruins, goaltending scout with the Toronto Maple Leafs, and director of goaltending with the Arizona Coyotes. And when in those roles, Brian learned that elite goalies are the ones that process the game quickly, possess a high goalie IQ, and have a strong mindset and emotional endurance. The goal of this app is to use it consistently on a daily basis to grow a goalie's knowledge of the position, develop all those things that Brian saw as in elite goaltenders. They do that through the app by encouraging the goalies to be on there for 30 minutes a week. And then over a course of a month and years, they will dramatically improve their ability to see the game. You can get subscriptions starting as low as $9.99 a month, premium members $19.95 a month, and you can go through on their app page, on the App Store, and see all the different features you get with both. But there is basically just consistent flow of content to keep you active, keep you engaged, keep you learning as a goaltender so that you can process the game quickly, you can develop a high goalie IQ, and you can build a strong mindset and emotional endurance. The Stop It Goaltending You app, make sure you check it out wherever you download apps, whether it's on the App Store with Apple or whatever you people on Android do.
I went down a rabbit hole on the Stop It Goaltending You app the other night, and I watched about 25 tips from goaltenders from all over the college and professional, and it was awesome. It was amazing. And the next night, I did it again, and I just couldn't get it. And there's short little tips from goaltenders in their gear being able to demonstrate it, and it's a wonderful tool. Well, Brian and everybody's done an amazing job. And there's so many other different segments to the app that are very encouraging that you can use as intense or just to prime up your day.
Love it.
Awesome stuff. And now we're dealing with parents and tryouts. And how do parents navigate this very stressful time of the year for everybody, not just the goaltender?
Yeah, and it's for me, it's a bit of a strange one, but I know there's a lot of organizations that are doing their tryouts now. They want to get this all in place early ahead of the hockey season in the fall. I was always a fall tryout guy when I was growing up. So it's a bit strange to me, but at the same time, it is happening. And so we got a lot of parents thinking about it. And I wanted to talk a little bit about how we can help our kids as parents in tryouts. And I have a couple of things, boys, to talk about. One of them is, how are we going to keep our kids focused on being themselves out there and not focusing too much on the outcome? And that's a tough one. It's a really tough one. But I think it's really important with everything in goaltending that we're focused on the process and what we're doing out there. And it's tough when you really want to make a team and you want to be at a new level, or you want to be with your buddies, or whatever it might be. But at the end of the day, I think it's important as parents that we help the kids understand that you can only do your part. There's other things at play here, from the coaches doing the evaluations to the other people who are part of the tryouts and so on, that you have no control over whatsoever. And for me, it's about not today, but it's just an ongoing conversation throughout the weeks and months leading up to tryout season, reinforcing that you've only got control over a certain piece of this, and let's just focus on that. It's not easy. I understand that. But one of the pieces that relates to that for me, guys, is so many people talk about great goaltenders being people who can take every game exactly the same. You've heard quotes from guys who've won huge games in the Stanley Cup playoffs, in the Olympics, a world championship. And you've heard them say things like, yep, I took it like it was any other game. I know it's a big moment, but once the puck drops, it's still hockey. Nothing's different. How can we help our kids create that feeling in themselves for the big games, or in this case, for the tryouts? And for me, what I say to parents around that is, if you want your kids to treat it like it's just any other day, you need to treat it like it's just any other day. How many of us are guilty as parents of getting all excited about the tryouts? Asking our kids, are you excited about the tryouts? Oh, it's a big weekend coming up. How are you feeling about that? I know you're excited, but you're creating a different atmosphere for your kids, probably creating a little bit of anxiety around it. How many of us have said to our kids, you should probably get to bed early tonight because tomorrow's a big day? Or, let's make sure we're eating our vegetables tonight because you've got a tryout tomorrow. All sorts of different things that subtly we can do around tryouts or championship games or tournaments where we end up treating it differently as parents and quietly teaching our kids that something different is happening tomorrow. So how about we treat it like any other game? And look, if for you, there's some really important preparation that you take for all of your games, for sure, carry on with it. I'm not saying take it too lightly. I'm not saying ignore it. But I think the first exhibition game of the season, the fifth game of the season, the championship game, the tryout, you need to have the same routine around all of it, both as parents and as goaltenders. And Darren, to answer your question from before, for me, that also means gear. I really don't think you want to be hopping into a new set of gear for tryouts if you can avoid it. And I know around that question about fall tryouts, that makes things a little bit different because little Johnny could well have put on 6 inches between the end of the season in March and the beginning of the season in September. So we've got some things we got to work with there, but maybe let's get the gear in the summer so that they have some time to make it their own. But yeah, for me is let's just treat this like it's any other day. Let's mentally be prepared to go out there and treat it like it's any other day. And as best we can, not focus on the outcome. Just try and be the best goalie you can when you're out there.
So downplay it? Or because it does feel like a special time.
It is, but just play it the same. Like, you can't do anything different. It's not downplay it. It's not, we're just going, it's no big deal, whatever. I mean, maybe there is something about that if you can, but I think if you can find a way so that you can be yourself, then you're going to be yourself when you play on the ice.
Makes sense, Woody?
Yeah, I got to send this to one of my beer league teammates. Every time we have a big game, he sends us like the slapshot speech, biggest game of your life, boys. So, and then I get all riled up and I suck. So maybe that's the whole key. I think that's it.
Yeah. Or you know, the Friday Night Lights speech or whatever it is, or like, but those are sports, to go back to your column from last week, Woody, those are sports where you can try harder and do better, but you can't as a goaltender.
Yeah,
no, right. The whole idea that we're, this is one of the few things in sport where trying harder doesn't help. So we really got to just be ourselves and go out there and play. Cause you can't play your game if you are too focused on trying, if you are too focused on, I'd better make the next save. And by the way, it's okay if a puck goes in and tryouts, it's going to happen. Just relax, get out there and play your game and be yourself and have fun. I dumped my kid at the curb for probably the biggest tryout of his life when he was about 14 years old at the time. And I just looked at him. I said, well, try and keep it under 10. Go have fun. And that was the extent of what we did differently.
I like it. I like it.
Yep.
Woody and I, our teams look at us and go, try and keep it under 10. But it's a legitimate question. Or ask.
Yeah, I've been there too. Yeah. I've been there too. Yeah, I played on a new team one time in a pretty high level men's league and all the guys were 20 years younger than me. And I looked at him, I said, so can you just tell me what a good night would be like here? One of them looked at me and said, well, if you can keep it under 12, you're doing better than our last guy. Well, yeah, I can do that.
Let's go. Let's do that. Stop a Goaltending You, the app, put it in search and download it. And it's got a wonderful, multiple levels of, awareness and encouragement and tools to make you a better goaltender.
And you know what it has now? It comes with an InGoal magazine subscription.
Oh, he buried the lead again.
Yeah, that's me. I forgot about the... Listen, they've developed a hell of a tool. So I don't want to say that we're the most important part of it, but we are a very nice added bonus as part of our new partnership with Stop It Goaltending and the Stop It Goaltending You app. Make sure you check it out, download it, and you will have the option coming up to get a subscription to InGoal magazine included. You know what I was thinking as we're going through the parent segment? Like, what a perfect segue, because he actually went to Stop at Goaltending with Joey Decord, made 49 saves, only gave up one goal in a win against Joey Decord in the Seattle Kraken. So that's, I guess, the only downside is that he beat Joey the other night. Had his first win in the NHL 5 days before that. And you want to talk about a stay in the moment quote? How about Devin Cooley? With the just dropping the absolute most goalie quote ever after 49 saves. And when he was asked about all the shots. And I'm just going to roll right into it. I check it every once in a while, but yeah, I just try and stay in the present moment. I just keep repeating to myself, there are no thoughts. There is no future. There are no thoughts. There is no future. I just said that over and over and over again. So that way I could just take it one save at a time. What were we just talking about? One save at a time. Then I also say nothing matters. Nobody cares. Nothing matters. Nobody cares. It keeps me grounded. Like if I make a big save or I look up like, wow, one goal on 40 shots or whatever, I'm like, I feel good. It's just like nobody cares, you know? Nothing's really going to matter. We're all going to die, you know? It sounds a little grim, but it helps keep me grounded. And we can laugh about it, but it's a perfect mindset, and it's exactly what you're trying to achieve with your goaltenders heading into those tryouts, no?
Yeah, absolutely. I love what he just said there. And yeah, I think if you could go into your tryouts thinking, if this doesn't really matter, I'm just going to go out and be my competitive self, then that'd be fantastic. I think we have mentioned before, we also don't like you looking at the shot clock if you're a beer leaguer, because you just go insane because they get the count wrong, or a minor hockey player. But on National Hockey League, they're reviewing all the shots. They know what they're doing.
Hey, let me just like...
But it does matter. Like, we're not trying to kid ourselves here. It does matter. It's a great quote, and it's works for him. But whether you're in a tryout or whether you're in a game, it does matter.
But yeah, here's where it doesn't. And this is a piece I left out that I shouldn't have, because this is what I lead all of this with my kid, is it doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, whether you make that team or you don't make that team, you win the game, you don't win the game, or quite frankly, even if you decide you don't want to play hockey anymore, I'm going to love you exactly the same. You're still my kid. You still get a hug at the end of the day, and we're going to have an amazing life together. In the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter.
My beer league team doesn't feel that way about me.
No, they won't.
The it doesn't matter part, or we're still going to love you part?
We're still going to love you part.
Yeah.
But
I do think that's important, because too many kids get focused on what does dad want? You know, how my parents going to feel if I don't make this team? What are my friends going to think if I don't make this team?
And it's not that it doesn't matter to the point you don't make an effort. You need to battle. You need to do all those things. But as we constantly try and bring it back to a one-shot mentality, I just think that's what we all want, right? Like focusing on making the team when you need to be focusing on that puck at the dot, like it's not going to help you. I had this with my kid in volleyball recently after a tragic practice, and she was broken after practice, like completely like apoplectic, in tears. But if you focus on that practice you just had tomorrow, you're done for the tournament on the weekend. There's nothing you can do about it. Just look ahead to the next time you have an opportunity. She had her best weekend ever in a pressure packed moment with a lot of college people watching. And so focusing on the past, making a big deal, like it does. So anytime you can find a mindset that helps you stay in the moment, whether it's Devin Cooley, who we're going to hopefully have on the podcast as soon as the season is over, by the way, or some of the other approaches that Hutch talked about, like this is what we're trying to get to. We all know it matters, but trying to get yourself to a point where you're not worried about it when you're in the act of the next shot, next save, that matters too.
I had Dr. Alicia Nasser on the Chirp podcast last week, behavioral background, dealing with the mental side of the game. She also, it was interesting, because she said goalies are the hardest ones to convince to go down that path, because they need answers before you actually start the process. She said goalies are very approach it very different. I thought that was interesting compared to forwards or defensemen or coaches or even referees. But she suggested to some of her clients, just have a song in your head. And put that song in your head and have it running in a loop kind of thing to distract you, almost like the nothing matters, but may entertain you a little bit more. But I'm fascinated by this mental approach that we're discussing.
Well, if you have kids, and like Marc-Andre Fleury, as he's, I think, said after games, let it go.
Yeah.
Let it go. Just sing the Frozen thing, right? Like it kind of fits with being a goalie. And I should say, not to get ahead of ourselves, but if we're going to tease our feature interview presented by Sense Arena, Corinne Schroeder, she has 3 degrees and one of them psychology. She has some great tips in this interview coming up on staying in the moment, including you're going to like, You're going to like this one, Darren. We'll save it. We'll let you listen to it and we'll talk about it after. But you're going to love this one because it has to do with your profession and using that as a way to stay in the moment when the moment is at the other side of the rink for a long period of time.
So does Thatcher Demko say it doesn't matter, or does he have a song running through his head? How does he approach it as he comes back just in time for the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Well, I think the first thing is there's another goalie that has a psychology degree from his time at Boston College. So his approach, his mental approach, we've had tips from him in the past, his interview with us, and then a couple different tips over the years on how to stay in the moment, how he focuses that way. I think for Demko, the confidence that he's going to come back with, a lot of people like, oh man, he's only going to get two starts. He's missed a month. He's only going to get two starts and he's right into the playoffs. Is that enough? And I think you can look at it the same way as you would the preseason. He's been on the ice for like 10 days now with Ian Clark. And I got to tell you, he is zipping around the ice. Like, he looks powerful, explosive, hitting his spots. Everything looks great. So now we got to get into gameplay. Well, what does a starting goalie normally get in the preseason, Darren? Two and a half games, usually two starts, maybe three. Thatcher Demko was the best goalie in the National Hockey League for the first 6 weeks of the season by a margin. He lapped the field for the first 6 weeks. That's where his Vezina case was built. So I think that's the confidence he brings into this. He feels good physically. He's moving well. He's doing all the things he believes he needs to do as a goaltender. He trusts his body and how it's reacting to the treatment. He's ahead of schedule. As for the games, if two's enough in the preseason, two's enough heading into the playoffs. I think that's the mindset he's taking. We'll see. It's a big ask because he's also got a team that's never been there before in front of him or outside of that one little run in the bubble. But I think he's approaching it like this is an opportunity he craves, because I know he worked his butt off the ice to make sure he'd be ready in time for it.
And fresh.
Look at Freddie Anderson right now. He missed a lot. And Demko's only missed a month. He doesn't feel like he's out of the rhythm of a game all that much. Look how much time Freddie Anderson missed. Look at how exceptional he's been coming back. And like you said, fresh.
The fine line between fresh and rusty. But the enthusiasm that he has may make up for some of that. And we know how Ian works and the intenseness of the one-on-one sessions that I don't think rust will be a huge impact there.
No. I mean, Ian's as good as anyone at getting his goalies ready to play. He has a very specific progression he goes through, and sometimes that takes a little while, but they're well through those progressions now. Everything looks like it would heading into a regular season. Now he just needs his two quote-unquote preseason games to get him ready for the playoffs.
Get mentally and physically primed. Let's get into our NHL Sense Arena feature interview, and this week we will chat with somebody from the PWHL, Corinne Schroeder joins us from the New York franchise and gives a little better background before we listen to this conversation, which I'm really excited about discussing that mental part of the game.
Well, from Manitoba, and we get into that sort of from a small like farming community outside of Winnipeg in Manitoba. So automatically a check in your box, Darren, being from that province. And this is her second year pro, was in the PHF last year with Boston, the Boston Pride. Set some records, like made some history, right? Like first PWHL shutout, that was her. So just there's sort of, I don't want to give too much away. There's a lot of great background. There's a lot of great advice. She talks about her work with the goalie coach in New York, Gord Woodhall, who actually, I didn't realize he was the goalie coach there. Like mea culpa, I didn't really look it up in advance. And once she said it, I remembered him from some former Hockey Canada POE camps and webinars that we've done in the past. So talks about their relationship and how strong that is. Just a lot of great advice, including, like I said, some great mental tips to stay focused. Or if you happen to be playing one of the first games in the biggest league and going for a shutout, how do you calm the nerves? We get into all of it with Corinne in this interview.
Brought to you by NHL Sense Arena, Hutch. And we know that the impact the virtual reality part and the different tools that you can use going into this part of the season, which is the off season, that can keep you sharp.
Yeah, I might have to tell everybody to ignore what I'm about to say if you're in tryouts. If you're in tryouts and you've been using Sense Arena, keep using it. But don't run out and grab Sense Arena in the middle of your tryouts and decide you're going to start adding that to your program. For everybody else, I'd like to challenge you to do something different this week. It's spring. We got a whole new time of year happening. It's a great time to do something a little bit different. How about you hop on Sensorina for 10 minutes a day for the next week? Darren, I'd like you to do this too. And do the eye-hand neurocognitive drills. 10 minutes neurocognitive drills. I'd be willing to bet that it doesn't get used as much by a lot of our Sensorina users, including you, Darren. I'd like you to do it tomorrow and write down your score for a couple of those drills. And then 10 minutes a day for the rest of the week. And then at the end, I'd like you to see how your score has improved over the week on some of those drills. I think spring is here, refresh time. I think you're going to find it's going to add a lot to your game to do these drills and also to realize that there's this great set of tools available in Sensorina that are more than just facing shots, facing drills, simulating the on-ice experience with this Unreal virtual reality program. So many tools available to us in Sensorina. And if mom and dad are listening and they like hearing the parents' advice, I would suggest you hop on Sensorina too and try these drills. You don't have to be a goaltender to try any of them. They're going to help you out in your life. Give them a try. They'll make you a better goaltender. Sensorina.com. Use the code IGM50 if you're about to try it for the first time.
Connections all over the goaltending world with In Goal Radio, the podcast, In Goal Magazine. It is our NHL Sensorina feature interview. Breen Schroeder joining us on In Goal Radio, the podcast.
Really excited to welcome to the In Goal Radio podcast. First time guest, Breen Schroeder from PWHL New York. The first shutout in the history of the PWHL. I feel like the last couple of months must have been a whirlwind. So let's just start there. What's it been like being a part of history?
It was incredible to start, I guess, my professional career in this league off with, you know, a shutout. That's the best you can ask for. And my team just had a great game in front of me too. So it was just, it felt so easy that it's just one of those things you're just so excited about getting this league started and everything, and you're trying not to get nervous. I was quite nervous for the game, but it was just so nice to kind of get that first win under our belt, get that shutout, and yeah, really start off our season.
Okay, not your first pro season. You played with Boston in the PHF last year, but like you said, like there was a sense that this was the start of something big, and so with that comes expectations, with that comes pressure, as you just said, some nerves into your first game. So I guess advice. Whether it's me going into a beer league game for playoffs, young kid heading into the postseason or a trial, how have you learned to manage nerves over the years?
I think the biggest piece for me is just staying in the moment, finding some way to really be present and not focusing on the future, not focusing on the past. You know, you let in a goal, you have to let it go. That's not going to help you finish off the game. It's not going to help your team finish off the game if you're dwelling on something like that. So yeah, finding any way to just stay current. Like I've done a ton of things over the years, from, you know, just commentating the game myself from my crease, like as it's kind of in the other end, to just, you know, stay sharp, stay focused, stay in it, not letting my mind wander. Other times I'm just scanning the ice, making sure, I've done this a lot more recently at least, is making sure I know who's on the ice at all times. You know, who should I be looking out for? Because obviously there's a number of players within this league, most players actually, that you really need to be aware of when they're on the ice. So I think that's one thing that's helped me stay present, is just focusing on, okay, what D pairing's out right now? What forward line is on? Are they in the middle of a change? Like just trying to find any strategy, I guess, or a leg up I can have in that moment, that situation, just to be, you know, have such complete awareness of what's going on.
Well, I love that you gave examples of how to do it, because I do think, you know, where that one shot at a time, stay in the moment mentality is something everybody strives for. Easy to say, sometimes really hard to do. I am curious about the play-by-play. So are you like, is this like Hockey Night in Canada where, you know, so-and-so passes to so-and-so? Was that a way at different points where you stayed engaged, that a way to sort of make sure your mind was on what was happening in front of you?
it's a different one, and I love it.
Yeah, it's not one I do so much recently, just because it's one I typically save for slow games. Those ones where you get, you know, a handful of shots per period. You're just trying to stay in it. You're trying to stay warm. You're trying to stay engaged. So it's, yeah, that one, when it's the puck spends a lot more time in the other zone, that's where you really got to make sure you're not wandering in your mind or just, you know, thinking, ah, what do you think post-game meal is going to be? Or, you know, things like that. Like you don't want to lose focus even for a second, because, you know, it's almost embarrassing when you let in easy goals, when you're just haven't been busy. And goalies know it's the hardest thing to do, to just stand there and wait and wait and wait. And then suddenly, you know, there's a 2-on-1, a really difficult chance coming at you. So I find that it's easier to stay engaged in slow games by doing that than just, yeah, being play by play, like, oh, so-and-so passes to them, you know, it's a little battle in the corner, whatever. And then, oh, it's coming out at me. Then you drop it, you focus on your triggers, like, okay, rush is coming from this side, I'm going to step out now, you know, those sort of things.
I love it. So just when the play's down, that's great, because that is something that a lot of goalies struggle with. Yeah, we have our in the moment. Some people have different cues, as you were mentioning, when the play's in the zone, little things about stance or tactics that just sort of keep you glued in. But when the play's down there for a long period of time, it's one of the most difficult things, right? Like, especially if the other goalie's standing on their head, right? Like, oh man, like they're playing really well. I better stop the next one, which is the last thing we want to be thinking about.
Yeah, exactly. It's especially when the other goalie's, you know, playing incredibly well, you know, that one minute, that, you know, little point or like span of time that you lose focus, that could be the difference between winning and losing that game. It's going to be a big momentum shift for your team if you let in one. So there's a lot of pressure in that. So I find that, yeah, you just have to find a way to stay engaged regardless of what's happening.
We catch you on a bit of a break with the PWHL right now, but is that easier or harder when you're in season? It has been a busier schedule than a lot of the athletes are used to, right? Like if you're coming out of NCAA typical weekends only, with some of the leagues, it wasn't as frequent games as they're seeing now. That focus, does it become easier when you're playing a couple times a week, or can fatigue play into that when you're playing multiple times a week? How have you learned to manage a pro schedule that's quite a bit different than a lot of the athletes in the PWHL were used to coming in?
Yeah, I think that it's been very different from having just games on the weekend. I really enjoy that, you know, we have games throughout the weeks and it's just really consistent. I think it's better for the fans that way, but it's also better for us as a pro league to build and to kind of understand that actual pro schedule and how fast and, you know, busy a season can be. So I think managing load is one of the things that's become a lot more important this season. So with my team, at least, we've been kind of alternating myself and Levy every other games here and there. It'll switch a little bit, but for the most part, I feel like I've been feeling really great physically. I feel ready for every game. I'm not too tired. I'm not seeing major injuries creep up, or like even long, like sustained injuries that just continue to bother you, right? The more you use them. So I've found that's yeah, a big piece, but we've been managing it well on our team. But yeah, I think the schedule is different, but it's different in a really, really good way.
What about in terms of practicing and more regular ice times, I would imagine, but also, do you have a goalie coach now? And is that different? And I apologize for not knowing in advance, because it was team by team in the PHF. There were some athletes I talked to that, you know, didn't have a lot of goalie coaching when the season was on. Ice time was sometimes at odd times, as everybody tried to manage, in some cases having to have other jobs. What has that been like for you in a league that, from everyone else I've talked to, it feels like it's just that next step professionally? You know, ice times that are more accessible and manageable, help with, you know, goalie specific drills, as opposed to sort of trying to figure it out on your own, or in some cases in the past, having to work with a private coach on your own.
Yeah, I think that the consistency of ice sessions is much better. Last year, I remember we had, I think, 2 mandatory skates a week and then open ice another 3 days of the week. So there was a handful of you know, myself and my teammates, a handful of us that were out on the ice 5 days a week, but most of our team wasn't. They were, you know, the bare minimum 2 or maybe 3, just because they had other things to worry about, their jobs outside of hockey. And for some, it just didn't work. So yeah, this year being on the ice 6 days a week it's really fantastic that we have the option to always be on the ice and consistently, you know, get better throughout the season and not have to worry about like, okay, well, we don't have the ice time available, so how are we going to really work on this or that? You know, I find part of the team game is lost when you don't actually have full team practices together. You just end up working on skills with the, you know, 4 or 5 of you that go out. So that's been really great this season. And yes, we do have a goalie coach, Gord Woodhall. He's from Winnipeg, Manitoba. So right near where I'm from. I've known him since I was maybe 16 or 17, you know, with the Team Manitoba starting out there. And yeah, so I've had a long history with Gord, and I was so excited to learn that he was hired here in New York. And he's just, you know, one of the greatest goalie coaches I've worked with. He's very thoughtful in everything that he coaches, and he's mindful about not necessarily changing your style, but allowing you to build upon it and just giving you ideas like, do you think this is going to work? Do you want it to work? Like that sort of thing, like just giving you that option to really build your own game rather than, you know, tailoring it to something specific. But yeah, so we've had a lot of, you know, good conversations like, all right, well, I disagree with that. But you're saying this. So like we're seeing both sides of it, but it's a really good 2-way relationship there.
Okay. So for those that aren't as familiar with your game, maybe in your words, walk us through how you see your style and the keys, maybe some of the foundational points of what you would say, like somebody says, hey, like when you're playing well, what are you doing well? What do you see as some of those foundational things, and how's that maybe evolved over the years?
Yeah, I think it's really hard to describe your own style because you don't really watch yourself play aside from the, you know, video sessions that you look back on. I'd like to say I'm more of a hybrid style goaltender. I am a bit taller, right? 5'11", but I don't necessarily hit my pads on every shot. I like to read what's happening. Very, very few times I'll, you know, in desperation, just butterfly out of habit, just because, you know, you lose sight of the puck, or, you know, you don't see the release, that sort of thing. But I find that, you know, if I have that sight line, I'm going to make the best read off of the puck rather than, you know, always know that I'm going to hit my pads.
So patience, obviously it sounds like you pride yourself on having a pretty patient game. How do you develop that over the years? Because there's another one that's can be real easy to say, right? We all want to hold edges and not go down too early, not be committed into a block or seal up too early. I mean, obviously certain moments we have to, it's the nature of the position, but how did you develop that? How did that become, you know, if it is a cornerstone of your game now, how did that occur for you? How did you get to that point? Because I think a lot of goalies would like to be more patient.
Yeah, definitely. I think that it's a hard thing to develop, obviously. I think the biggest piece of being able to do it consistently and being patient on, you know, most, if not all shots is the tracking ability that you have. You have to be able to see the shots and react to them well in advance of, you know, them hitting you, obviously. So if you're struggling with the speed of shots, essentially, it's going to be really difficult for you to make the reads in time to be able to hold your edges, because, you know, by the time you realize the puck is going low and you're still, you know, standing or something and you don't react fast enough, that's going five hole. There's not much you can do about that. So I think working on tracking, reflexes, and in general, just working on everything about your eyes and how you're able to see the puck and track it all the way in, and finding those sight lines on screenplays is they're all big factors that tie in.
Seeing a puck through the release as opposed to reacting prematurely and sort of maintaining vision. When you talk tracking, you talk about your eyes, sound like someone who's maybe done some work on that. Like, are there things you can do to help make sure your eye, like it used to be in the old days, just like, hey, see the puck. But, you know, now we have different tools and different sort of mechanics of how to see the puck and what the optimal head angle is and all those kind of things. What's your experience with sort of some of those different, you know, whether it's tools or things you've done over the years to help make sure your eyes are performing at peak function?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of different tools that you can use. A bigger piece of it actually is just learning how to read the shot off of the blade. So making sure you're so, you know, fine-tunely aware of everything about the shooter's shot, making sure you understand where their elbow positioning is, you know, seeing where the puck is on their stick, the angle of the stick towards you, right? So just gaining every bit of advantage before the shot even is released can help you to be ahead of that play before the puck is even shot. Obviously, reading the puck off the tape, that's the reaction piece of it. That's like, okay, so you still need to be able to track that at that certain speed. But
right. If
you know already where it's probably going, you know, the shooter's got an open blade, they're shooting kind of across the grain there. So you kind of understand it's going to be, you know, this side or that side. You have an idea where it'll be, but you still need to track it to find the precise location.
I love it.
So
reading the release, like there's two parts there, right? Like you're describing reading the release based on all the information you get before it comes off the blade, and then trying to stay on the puck as it comes through the blade and off the blade longer. Does that sound like a fair description?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that information that you're gathering, the ability to read a release, and I know a lot of it's probably just innate. When you see it, you know. How do you get good at that? Is it just reps, or was there a point along the way where you had a mentor or a coach that was like, hey, like look for the elbow position or the hand position or the blade position, all these little cues that help you read what's going to happen before it comes off that stick. How did that become a big part of who you are as a goaltender? Is there any advice you can share for young goalies trying to get better at it themselves?
Yeah, I think reps are a huge piece of learning that, just being able to see different shooters and how they shoot. Obviously, getting, you know, a wider array of understanding, right? You see the same person shoot on you all the time, you kind of understand how that person shoots, but not everyone shoots the same way, obviously. Right. So to be ready for anyone's shot, you really kind of have to see a lot, but you do pick up on patterns throughout all shooters that, like, you know, once you figure out those patterns, it becomes automatic in your brain. I think goaltending, it's all pattern based.
Yeah.
Obviously Gord, my goalie coach, talks about it all the time. He's also our video coach and he just studies film so much, but that's what he preaches. He just preaches it's pattern recognition. You just have to understand those patterns. And the more you see them, the better you're going to get at reading them and anticipating the play, right? So with everything, I think it's just, you know, those who really excel with goaltending are able to just read those patterns faster and understand where the play is going before it gets there. And same with, obviously, shot releases. You understand where it's going before the player has really decided where it's going to go.
Now, does Gord ever, will he ever show you a unique release or something he sees on video from an opponent? Because I'm guessing with the league change, they're probably, you know, you would have seen some of these shooters in the PHF, some you haven't, some would be new to you. Like, would you ever dig in on video of an opposing shooter, or is that too much information heading into a game? I'm curious.
I think that's maybe too much personally to that's look fair. Into, but also yep. I'm not sure we have
that yet.
The same kind of video essentially to see the shot release on every play, right? Like the video we see of, you know,
the overhead.
Taylor Heisey scoring. It's overhead, it's farther out. We don't have those like zoomed in kind of shots.
We need them.
Which is fine. Yeah, it'd be nice to analyze, but no, I don't think it's we obviously me and Gord, we haven't gone through anyone's specifically. I think just yeah, coming in this season there was a lot that I hadn't seen, primarily Team USA shooters. Because, you know, I've seen the Team Canada shooters throughout camps and everything. Yeah. So I understand where, you know, each of them have their tendencies, their habits, and the way they release the puck. But yeah, for the USA girls, I hadn't really much of a clue to where they're shooting or how their shot release comes off. So in that sense, it just takes a couple. Not even games, just a single game to see kind of where they're at, where they're going. You know, watching some of their other games, maybe you see where their shot tendencies are. But yeah, shot releases necessarily. I don't study it. I think it's just something you pick up on.
More patterns of how teams might attack a power play, where the puck moves around the ice, as opposed to video to see a release. More patterns of the game and how teams might play.
Yeah. Yeah, Gord breaks down typically the offense of the opposing team, what kind of looks they're trying to get, you know, like whether they're trying to attack with three and then cut middle every time, or drive low and pass out to the dot line, kind of those sort of things. So each team does have their own tendencies. And as long as you kind of prime your brain and become aware of what they're looking for, you're already a step ahead in the game. When you see it happen, you already know that's where it was going, right? So that's more of the video that Gordon and I look at before each game.
Okay, I'm gonna rewind here a little bit. I'm just gonna take me back to growing up in Elm Creek, Manitoba. And I should know this because my wife's from Winnipeg, but east or west? It's like 50 kilometers outside of Winnipeg, right?
Yes, it's southwest.
Okay, so and rural farm, grew up on a. How did the passion for A, hockey, and B, goaltending? How did you become it? Like you clearly have a passion for it. Where did that come from?
I grew up on a farm, actually, just outside of Elm Creek, so a few miles outside of town. We did grain and eggs, so we have a lot of chickens still on our farm at home. So it's really great to go home. I always love just being back there. And yeah, I think with hockey, I just fell in love with going to the rink every day. I learned to skate when I was, I think, 3, and learned to play hockey or started playing hockey at age 4. So it's been my whole life, and it's been really, really exciting every time just going back to my home rink. I love being there. It's natural ice, and it's what I learned on. But I think that's really where my passion started, was just excited to get out there with my friends and skate every day.
Okay, so how did that go from out skating to out skating in a very confined area as a goaltender?
Yeah, I find that my career's gone, you know, every which way. I've played every position, actually. I started as a defenseman when I was a bit younger. Just I was one of, you know, a few who could skate backwards at the time, you know, maybe 6 or 7 years old, whatever. So I think I really enjoyed that, but I shifted my focus. I'm like, oh, I want to score goals. So yeah, moved forward a little bit after that. And, you know, as kids, they always rotate goalies through the net. That was my first kind of chance at seeing what goaltending was really like. I might have been, I don't know, 7 at the time or something. The first time I actually got to wear the goalie gear and not just hold a goalie stick in my player gear for 5 minutes and then we switch type of thing. So
yeah,
that was kind of my first time doing it, but I continued to do both for quite a while. It wasn't really till I was like 12 years old, about 11 or 12, that I decided, okay, maybe I'll be a goalie all the time if I can, right? So I think that's really when my parents were like, okay, maybe you should make a decision here. Let's see which way do you want to go. So I had actually ended up playing on a spring hockey team for the first time, and they had no goalies show up to tryouts. So they're like, okay, do you want to come? And I was like, sure, I'll come to a practice. They'll see how I am. And yeah, it was really, really exciting. It was a bunch of, you know, girls from Winnipeg. So they're all, you know, I thought better, way better than me. You know, they've played hockey and in these better leagues, not just like little small town, whatever. I didn't end up letting in a single goal that practice, and they're like, you're on the team. So that was a big kind of confidence boost for me. And I was like, okay, so I'm pretty good at this. I can do this. So that's kind of where I, you know, fell in love with goaltending. That's when I had my first goalie coach as well. And from there I was like, oh, there's actually, you know, a technical side to this. You don't have to just, you know, stand there and react like I probably did before, which got me far enough. But, you know, once I really learned the ins and outs of how you're supposed to move, how you can make the player see less net, all those sorts of things with angles and whatnot, it became just, you know, the greatest challenge for me. And I just loved that piece of it.
So do you think, though, like, just out of curiosity, it's not like you didn't start playing goal till you're 15 or 16, but playing the other positions, we talked earlier about connecting patterns using video, like when you've been a part of those patterns, even subconsciously, did it help as you were starting? Or knowing what everyone else was trying to do to score on it?
Yeah, I think some understanding of what players are trying to do helps as well. I think, you know, at that age, we probably didn't have much for systems, but my skating abilities, I think I can really tie to playing as a centerman for most of the later part of my player career. I continued to play occasionally as a centerman until I was maybe 14 was probably the last game I played. We just kind of traded off with, you know, the backup goalie. If they were playing that game, I would be a forward. And if they weren't, I'd be a net. So we switched.
I like that, especially at a young age when, like, this has been a theme here on the In Goal Radio podcast, including with some high-level development people, especially in the States, about, hey, at certain ages, you shouldn't have one person sitting on the bench doing nothing.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. I mean, like at, you know, 13 years old, it's not likely the other's going to get injured. And if they are, well, quick change, whatever, switch it up. But for the most part, yeah, like it's so much better to get everyone in the game. Yeah. There's no point of having your parents drive you to the rink just to sit there and do nothing, right? You didn't even get exercise. You just sat there.
There's a lot of, like, I'm nodding my head as we talk here. There's a lot of parents and young goalies nodding their heads as well. I love it. You mentioned your first goalie coach at you know, just as you got started. And it sounded, when you started about technical and started talking about, you know, taking the net away and things, like, sounded like you enjoyed that. Like, is that a part of it that you really embraced?
Yeah, I think I'm a bit of a nerd in most ways. I love learning new things. And, you know, in college, I have 3 degrees, actually.
Okay, now you got to tell us what
I've done a lot. I got my bachelor's in psychology as well as health science and my MBA. So I've done a lot, but I always just love, you know, searching for more information and just learning more, adding more in all kind of walks of life. I've just learned that school is just so important to me as a person. But yeah, like, just from the goaltending side of it, it was always a nice challenge to learn something new and to learn, like, oh, well, this is how someone else does it, or this is how I should think of this situation. I'm still always learning new things and being like, oh, all right, well, maybe I should implement that, or maybe I should give it a try. Kind of see what works for me in my game at this point. Now it's more like that. But in the beginning, I was like, oh, angles. I got to figure out where are my feet supposed to be? Where am I in my crease, depth, all that sort of thing. It's difficult to learn, I think, as a young goalie. But once you kind of understand where you are within your net and your crease, it just opens everything up. And you're like, okay, now I can work on the more technical pieces, the smaller, minute details that, you know, as you get higher and higher in the levels of it, become more and more important, and they become those difference makers. So I think just always striving to learn more and add more is something that's important to me.
You've obviously had the tactical, the positioning, where your feet should be, as you said, you've had that down for a long time. Has it evolved over time? Is there any advice for young goalies trying to figure that out? Like, and everybody's different. Some want to, you know, and the philosophies around this have changed quite a bit. You know, it used to be out and retreat. Now we're seeing a lot more sort of stay back, wait for the play to happen, and then step out. Where do you fit now, and how has that evolved over time? And any advice for young goalies trying to find where they fit into that equation?
I think that, yeah, like you said, it changes a lot over time. Even throughout my career, even within the past year, I've changed things about where I'm standing in different situations. So I think most of it's just learning what works for you and what you're comfortable with. I've personally learning to use my size to my advantage a bit more, just with being like, okay, I'm a tall goalie. I'm athletic. I can afford to be a little deeper, you know, when the play's, you know, on the half wall or just like somewhere where a shorter goalie might feel they need to challenge. I can be a little more patient there and step out when I realize the shot's coming or, you know, there's that opportunity for a shot, things like that. So I think just finding what works for you and not being stuck in your ways, right? Part of growing and getting better is being open to new ideas and understanding that, you know, this might work for someone else. Maybe it won't work for me, but let me give it a try.
Obviously, you're a learner. You used to use the word, I can't remember, was nerd or geek, whichever. For the record, we take pride in that. Johan Hedberg once called me a goalie geek and said it was meant as a compliment. So we're going to stick with that. Do you have to be careful sometimes? And have you learned that over the years not to, and I think you sort of hinted at this already, but the game changes, new ideas, new ways of playing things. There's so much out there all the time, not to chase change for the sake of change. Try, but not to, you know, to within the learning, know what works for you as a foundation, I guess.
Yes, I believe that there's going to be new ideas and, you know, new styles of play, I guess, evolve over time. But at a certain point, you still need to understand what works for you, what makes you most comfortable. Because if you're uncomfortable in a way you play, like you're not going to be confident, you're not going to play your best potential because you're going to be worried about, you know, how you're playing this situation or something like that. And, you know, when it comes to it, you're going to get burnt one of those times and you're going to blame that new way of playing that, you know, maybe your goalie coach is trying to get you to do, or someone's told you, you have to play this way type of thing. So I think it all comes down to your personal style. Obviously there's kind of within the goalie community, specific things that coaches are looking for, or, you know, specific technical movements that they want you to be really good with doing. And like, they're all a piece of the game, but to a certain extent, the way you read the play and the way you decide to play it should be the way that you're most comfortable with, and most confident with. So yeah, chasing change for the sake of change isn't exactly beneficial for the most part. It's always great to keep an open mind and be open to learning new things because it might work great for you, but not being discouraged or thinking that you have to do this because I just find that, you know, in my experience, the best goalie coaches have always given me the option of deciding whether it works for me. And like, to a certain point, if I'm resisting change and I don't really like trying something new, maybe it's just because I haven't perfected it, or maybe I just haven't given it the right kind of shot. Because, you know, eventually there have been times where I'm like, or just throughout my career, I've been like, okay, well, I don't like the way they're telling me to play this. I'm going to play it how I usually do. And sure enough, I get burnt a couple of times and I'm like, okay, so maybe I do need to change, because, you know, the shooters are really taking advantage of this weakness that I have. So kind of being understanding as well of what is a, you know, a potential weakness to fix through certain changes within your game. So being open-minded, I think, is the most important.
What about with crease partners? You know, Abby and Lindsay now, like, do you compare notes? I'm guessing there's nuances within each of your game, different styles. Do you do a lot of talking about, like, hey, I approach this, like, can that be, or with other playing partners you had over the years, where you take something from the other person, or at times even the other way? I know some goalies will end up on a team with a playing partner that plays things very differently, and just by watching them too much can find it creeping into their game, even if it might not be something that they necessarily do well or want in their game.
Yeah, I think that I have a great relationship with both Levy and Posty. We're I think the perfect little trio. We're all really tall goalies, but we all do have our very distinct styles of play. So it's not necessarily that we compare notes about, you know, how we want to play certain situations. I think with our size, working with Gord, he kind of understands, you know, we're all kind of in the same boat of like, this is how we should play certain things. But it is always up to our best judgments at the end of the day, what we want to do in certain situations. I know Levy likes to play more of a butterfly style game, and that works for her. She's got a couple inches on me even. And she's a big goalie. She can afford to do all those blocking saves, but she's also very mobile and able to get to rebounds quick. So yes, there are certain things that she does that I'm not sure I can do in the same, to the same degree, I guess, or, you know, things that I wouldn't necessarily do in certain situations. But I have definitely taken some keynotes from her, with mainly with balance, but a lot with actually just her, you know, mental side of the game, not even just physical play style. I find that I've learned a lot more from my goalie partners in terms of how I can approach my position on the team, as well as just learning how they stay calm and cool throughout the games.
I was going to ask you if your goalie partners come to you for advice on the mental side, because we started this talking about managing nerves, and now, and I apologize that I didn't realize it at the time, but you're a goalie with a psychology degree. Can it help? I mean, here in Vancouver, we deal with Thatch Demko all the time, and same thing, right? That was his degree that he got, was in psychology. And, you know, there are definitely, it feels like, some advantages to being able to sort of understand how we as humans think and apply it to how we as goalies perform.
Yeah, having a psych degree definitely, I think in some ways it helps, right? Because you have that knowledge, but it's a different game altogether to implement the knowledge
right
within your own game. So that's something I've definitely like dove into this season, is just adjusting how I approach games mentally and how I can approach even practices and everything in a different sort of way.
Can you give us an example, if you're comfortable sharing?
Oh, good. Yeah. So at times I find that with new coaches, especially, I'm not always on the same page as them with practice plans. So this year, earlier in the season, my coach decided we're going to start every practice with a game, like a small area mini game. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, I haven't had a single shot. I haven't you know, warmed up enough, I'm going to hurt myself, those sort right. of things. And I'm like, okay, so panicking. So I think I struggled a lot with just being really angry right from the start of practice, just being like, you know, feeling, you know, a little like helpless in a sense, because you're like, I didn't get the warm up I wanted. And now we're on a downward spiral for the rest of the hour or hour and a half, whatever it is. Right. So that's right. something that was, you know, really difficult. But I talked with him and we sorted it out, and he kind of understood my side of it. Like, we're not warm. We're not ready to perform at that, you know, degree, essentially, when it right. comes to games. Everyone's competitive. You don't want to let in a goal. You don't want to, especially, you don't want to let in like 5 goals in the first 2 minutes of practice. That's tough, right? On your confidence and your mental side of that. So I find that, yeah, that was something I had to work through.
Is the lessons from that, it sounds like, in part, learning how to manage that yourself, but also to advocate for yourself a little bit with a coach. And what is, you know, a solution be to get more goalie, like, can you get out there early with the goalie coach so that by the time you start that, you do feel better physically? Or what kind of solution did you guys come up with? Or was it just a matter of you know, a little bit of both, wrapping your head around it and not letting it be your spiral? How did you sort of, what's the lesson you came out of that with?
It was a bit of both. I think our practice plans have evolved quite a lot throughout the season even. But
so it is important to advocate for yourself a little
bit. It is important. I think it's important just to have that connection with your coach too, just making sure that they understand where you're coming from as a goalie, because I feel like very few head coaches were goalies. They don't necessarily understand that piece of it, because the, you know, players, they get on the ice, they shoot around for a couple minutes, and then they're ready to go. They're,
right.
For the most part, not necessarily, but they're more ready than I think myself as a goalie, trying to just see, track a puck, you know,
yeah.
to get my eyes warm and things like that. So it's, I feel like personally, it's a little more difficult for goalies to get warm and to feel ready for practice. So yeah, just, we had a series of conversations about like, okay, can we maybe add one drill, just one warm-up drill, shots from outside, farther out, something like that. Just let us warm our eyes up before we get into a game. So lots of times we would do that. We would do one, like 5-6 minutes of a warm-up drill and then into a small area game. Then, you know, that was a lot easier to wrap my head around, because I can't blame the fact that I wasn't prepared for my entire practice, right? Like, I, you know, if I have a really bad practice the whole time, I can't be like, oh, it started right from the first minute. It started from that first drill, right? I can be like, no, I had the opportunity to warm up. We played the game. Maybe I wasn't feeling great after the game, but at some point, like, it's on me to stop that spiral and to, you know, salvage that practice, salvage my mentality, reset something, right? So I think, yeah, helped me with, you know, personal accountability as well. And yeah, at this point in the season, we typically save our small area competition games to the end of practice. We've adjusted kind of our mindset towards them. And using them a little more purposefully as well. So,
yeah. Nice. I love that. Thanks for sharing that. I think it's a great example. I think there's, like you said, there's a couple of different lessons you can take out of that in terms of, you know, letting it affect you as a goalie, but also, you know, sometimes it's great to have that line of communication and be brave to open it with a new head coach and just be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a key, like, connection, a key relationship within the team, because they don't necessarily always have that same connection with their goalies. I know some coaches are like always, you know, talking to their goalies, and others are like, oh, I just leave them alone. I don't want to mess with what they're doing, type of thing. So I think it all depends on who they are and that sort of thing. But as long as you understand each other, things definitely go a lot smoother.
So you talked about patience and pads hitting the ice. And so they don't always hit the ice because of that patience. But when they do, they've got a really nice seal, I bet, because you're in the new Axis XF. And I got to say, one of the nicer sets I've seen. Love the custom graphics. What have you all, like, where is gear fit into your journey as a goaltender? Was it something that attracted you at all in those early days where you switched in? Or was it just something you used, one of the tools of the trade? Like, are you geeky on the gear or just want it to look good? Where do you fall in that line with that? And how are you liking the new set?
Yeah, just quick correction on there. I am in the E-Flex 6s, actually.
Oh, so there we go. Good job, Kev. Good job. Like, one strike against me. I thought I looked closely enough, and evidently I didn't.
All good. Yeah, no, they're really nice still. Like, I love the design that I have this year. I find the teal just looks so nice with the accent navy blue at the bottom, just with the skyline of the city. I think CCM did a great job designing, or I designed them myself, but they made them look good.
So was that the first time you've done that? Like designed a set? Like,
yeah.
We all have, you know, the customizer and everything, but like the fact you can do the all out graphics now, was that the first time you'd gotten to go through that process?
Yeah, it was actually the first time. And I was like, at first I was just going to do the normal, like boring, fill out the customizer, whatever. But then like with our team colors, they don't have that color teal available. Like they just don't have it.
It's not a stock option yet.
You know what we can do though? We can print it on. So you're going to have to do the all out design. And I'm like, okay, well, if I'm going to do this, I may as well make it look good. So I spent most of the November rivalry series, actually, you know, all of my spare time, I was in my room, just designing these on, like, with computer graphics. I'm not too good with Photoshop, but I tried my best to kind of show where I wanted things and how I wanted it to look, and then sent it off to them, and they made it look good. So I'm very happy with that.
I was going to say, it's okay. You've got 3 degrees. Nobody's blaming you if one of them isn't graphic design. That's all right.
Yeah, none of them really involved computers all that much. But that's okay.
And they turned out great, even if I had the wrong.
Yeah, that's okay.
The wrong model on there. Listen, really enjoyed this conversation, Karine. Can't thank you enough for taking the time. I know the season's getting going right around the corner. You're practicing and gearing up for it, popping back into it. What's the mindset as you head down the stretch?
Yeah, I think that through these last 5 games before playoffs are going to be huge for us as a team. I think we had a really great game to end that last little bit there against Boston. And I think we're finally having some things click. So mindset is just, you know, take it one game at a time. You know, every game is going to be super important, so we can't get ahead of ourselves. We just got to, play our best and find a way to hopefully get some wins and make it to playoffs.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you so much. Look forward to continuing to watch you, and really enjoyed the conversation today. Thank you so much for joining us. I know our audience is going to enjoy it as well.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
I've done the whole play-by-play thing when the puck's at the other end. More just to entertain myself, not to necessarily keep myself sharp, but just to practice things and give myself something to do. Not sure it helped me as much as it would Karine, but it's a great tool to use. And I think it does keep your mind involved in the game instead of floating around.
I've done it, Darren, but not play-by-play. It's usually color commentary. Like, what the are you doing down there? Why are both my defensemen below the goal line when we're on a power play, or we're shorthanded up a goal with 2 minutes left?
What kind of giveaway is that?
I 100% remember doing play-by-play in my head, probably out loud as a kid, just because I thought it was fun as the play was down at the other end. The other one I tried, guys, and this wasn't about staying focused, but I could never understand how officials could figure out who scored and who got the 2 assists after that. I mean, you can figure out who scores, but 2 passes before. So I'd be watching the play thinking to myself all the time, well, if Johnny scores here, who got the 2 assists? I never could figure it out. I don't know how they do it.
Well, you know the secret, right?
Well, maybe.
Well, they're just taking numbers in their heads, like 14 and 17, and then it goes in. And if failing that, they can just go up and ask.
Well, that's the real secret is the asking.
And you all have one of these on your team.
Oh,
we've all got that guy that he doesn't wait for them to ask. He makes sure he skates over and he's like, you got that first assist for 22, right?
Yeah.
Got that second assist for 22, right? I touched that one on the way in, 22, right? And the guy on my team whose name I'm not going to use his name, but he knows who he is, wearing 22 because we chirp him all the time.
He actually does wear 22 in your team?
Oh, yeah. He knows it.
I love that.
The 22 for second assist?
Yeah, begging for second assist. Every once in a while, the refs will get tired of it and they'll throw me an apple. Just randomly, I'll look at the score sheet later and I'll be like, hey, I got an assist that game. I wonder how that was.
Colin Patterson played for the Calgary Flames, Stanley Cup champion, told me one time that this is back before they had multiple different people doing keeping track of the live in-game stats. He said plus minus was a key back then because there wasn't all these analytics in the 80s. And his secret was if he scored and he was on the ice and his team scored, he would join the huddle, the hug, and always make sure that his number was facing the press box because then the official scorer would always be able to write his name down. If he got scored on, he would slink along the boards on the opposite side, always making sure his number wasn't available and then get to the bench as fast as possible.
That's funny.
Well, listen, if you don't think that this still happens in the National Hockey League, I got news for you. I'm not going to name names or numbers this time, but in the somewhat recent past, I witnessed a center for a team having a long pointed conversation with the off-ice officials after the game, going over the score sheet, trying to get more faceoffs that he felt he won in a certain period changed over in his favor. So it still happens. And I got to say, I've also seen over the years, coaching staff members go to the off-ice officials and ask where the shots are. Like, why are we missing? Why is my guy getting robbed of shots? Which definitely doesn't happen anymore, because this is another new conversation around the league with goalies. One of the reasons we're seeing save percentage drop is they are not counting anything. Like, if, you know, it could be going a foot wide and you kick it out, and they, if they go back and look at the replay and figure it was going a foot wide when you kicked it out, that's not it's a not shot a anymore. Yep. So they've definitely, shots are way down in terms of how they're counted, and it's affecting save percentage for some guys. But, you know, listen, I would argue they're getting it right, even if that might cost me my goalie union card, and I would not make that argument in the room as these guys vent to me.
So if a puck is sent down the ice, iced or just flipped in, and it's on goal, is that a save?
That counts as a, it counts as a save. Clear sight doesn't. They mark it separately as a dump in. But you know, I mean, if it skips and goes in, it counts as a goal.
Yeah, I've heard it argued both ways.
So have I. I've heard some goalies say there are some barns where, unless it's a legitimate attempt to score, they won't count.
I've done stats from four leagues, and I was told not to count those as shots. And because it's not an attempt to score.
They do in the NHL.
Yeah.
They do in the NHL if it's on net. Yeah, but I'd say, and that's where clear sight takes them off and counts them and says, hey, like this was a dump in shot. They record it separately, but they don't count it towards the analytics because the times it goes in is so rare that it's insignificant.
That's almost too many degrees for Kareem Schroeder.
Three. I know I'm jealous, right? Like, cause it took me 8 years to get one.
Yeah. Like, that's a.
I was about to use the old line about, you know, Woody could say that between him and Kareem, there were 3 degrees. So
3 degrees of separation.
I guess it's four. Yeah, I guess it's four.
You're bringing something to the table, buddy. That was a fun conversation. Love it. Good Manitoban. Always great to catch up. Manitoba's back to producing goalies. Campbell and Schroeder on the women's side. And we got a few others coming up. I like the goalie factory coming back in the Keystone Province.
I got nothing. I got no arguments.
Let's go.
Turned a pretty good college goaltender into a really good NHL goaltender when he moved to Winnipeg too.
Yes, you're right about that. Do you want to explain to everybody who that is?
Who's that guy who plays for the Winnipeg Jets? Connor Hellebuck.
He now has, as of tonight, he has the same amount of shutouts in the NHL as his number 37.
There you go.
Really?
Fifth of the season, 37th of the career. Just one more check mark in the Vezina Trophy that will be his. He'll have his name on it for the second time at the end of this season. I am confident.
And he's not the leader in games played this year. So I think there might be a little gas in the tank going forward. Laurent Brossoit's done a fabulous job giving him some quality nights off.
I'm really curious to see how they handle their last couple of games, because you're right, LB has been fantastic. He had another shutout recently as well. I think this might actually be back-to-back between the two of them. There's a guy that's in, probably going to price himself out of what Winnipeg can afford behind Hellebuck, but there's a guy who's in for another raise after another fantastic season with the Jets.
Dare I say, a guy who deserves to have his name on the Jennings Trophy and won't.
He won't have it on there because of that silly 25-game rule. That's really tough because he does deserve it. They're going to win the Jennings by a large margin. And as good as Connor Hellebuck is, Laurent Brossoit deserves recognition for that because he's been excellent as well. That's the best tandem in the league right now, I'd say.
It was a fun little bit going around on social today because there was speculation, would they try and get him in for a minute of each game so he'd get his 25 appearances? And then Helly was pitching a shutout today and the game was long gone. Great game to try and get him in for that extra appearance, but you're not taking a shutout away from somebody.
Right. And if he steps on the ice for even 30 seconds, neither one of them gets the goose egg.
Yeah.
I wonder if you can appeal that 25 game rule.
They should. It's funny because I was going to say,
repeal it.
They should probably just change it. And yet the irony is most backups are playing 25 now. You know, there's only a handful of situations where the starter's playing that much, right?
But it's for the team who lets in the fewest goals. And if LB wasn't there, they probably don't win it.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. It's totally fair. I agree 100%, Hutch. It's a tough one, but hell of a season for both of them. A couple games left in it and then playoffs. And interesting, Darren, you talk about that, like, the guy that's going to be at the other end in the first round of the playoffs with Winnipeg Jets is Alexander Georgiev, who has played the most games. I guess UC Saros has one more than him. And a lot of conversation, especially early in the season, about whether they played him too much. So be a very interesting sort of subplot to that first round series between two really good teams.
When we speak to you again, the Stanley Cup playoffs will be underway. Of course, we've got Major Junior, and all the other leagues. Frozen Four just finished up. Congratulations to Denver for winning the NCAA crown. So we're working our way through the spring, and the next step is the Stanley Cup playoffs. For David Hutchison, Kevin Woodley, I'm Darren Millard. Thanks for listening to In Goal Radio, the podcast.